Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you holiday programs from the past. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Coming up later in this hour, New World A-Coming from 1945, their Christmas program. But first, it's Truth or Consequences for the Holidays, an NBC episode from December 20th, 1947.
Take your clothes out bright and clean. When you does your wash, you'll sing. D-U-Z does everything.
Hello there. We've been waiting for you. It's time to play Truth. Yes, Truth or Consequences, the show that does everything on the air, brought to you by Dust, the soap that does everything in your wash. And here he is, the fellow whose show was again voted number one audience participation show in the annual awards made by newspapers and radio editors, columnists and critics conducted by Motion Picture Daily in behalf of Fame magazine. And next to Bing was voted number two master of ceremonies.
No.
But with us, he's just that doozy guy, Ralph, Truth or Consequences, Edwards.
Well, thank you very much, Arlo Wilcox. And greetings, party players. I certainly want to thank the radio editors and critics for voting Truth or Consequences number one again. Daddy's proud of his baby. And Harlow, I don't know, I feel so battered and bruised tonight.
How come, Ralph? Because you've been practicing for your appearance on the Eddie Cantor Show Christmas night?
No, I'm really bruised. I dozed my shirt and doesn't do everything.
Oh, yes, it does, Ralph.
No, sir, you have to take your shirt off before you throw it in the washer. Understand? Am I bruised? But I'm happy with all, and I'm clean, too. Well, this is our Christmas party tonight, our Truth or Consequence Christmas party, and I can't wait to get it going. Speaking of Christmas, there are only three more shopping days till Christmas. Not much time left to buy your Christmas seals. You all know that the purchase of Christmas seals is to help the fight against tuberculosis. As a matter of fact, we have about $50 worth of Christmas seals right here with us. I'm going to give these Christmas seals to any lady. I'll give them to any lady in the audience who wants them. Now, she can keep the Christmas seals if she will do one thing. That is to prominently display these Christmas seals all the way home tonight and shout from time to time, "I have my Christmas seals, why don't you buy yours?" Now, what lady will do that? Johnny Pollock, turn on the microphone. I'll go right down to the audience. Here are a bunch of them here. Here's a lady here. I'll interview someone. What is your name, please?
Mrs. Martinson, Jr.
Where are you from, Jr.?
Oakland.
Oakland, California. Oh, and a finer town there isn't. What is your name, please?
Mrs. Ray Greenwell, San Diego.
Yes, but are you staying up here tonight?
Yes, I am.
You're going to be in town tonight?
Yes, I am.
In Los Angeles and Hollywood. What is your name, please?
Rose Downing.
Yes, well, you'll get up again, Rose. Don't you worry about it. What is your name again, Mrs.
Greenwell? Mrs. Ray Greenwell.
All right. Now, you will take these Christmas seals home and wave them and say, I have my Christmas seals. Why don't you buy yours? Will you do that?
Yes, I will.
Oh, that's wonderful of you to talk up the sale of Christmas seals. Mrs.
Greenwell.
Greenwell from San Diego. Now, here are $50 worth of Christmas seals. We want you to shout all the way, I have my Christmas seals. Why don't you buy yours? As a matter of fact, they're worth more than $50. The Christmas seals that I want you to take home are these two live seals that are coming on stage now. Is your husband here? Beautiful. Will you take the seals home with you, Mrs.
If my brother-in-law will let me.
Oh, you're living with your...
No, we're going to stay all night in his house.
Where's his brother-in-law here? Brother-in-law, will you let her take them home with him? Well, sure, he says. All right. How are you going to get home?
Well, we're in his car.
Oh, that'll be cozy. All right. Well, I'm sure all... Look at it roll over up here, one of the seals. They're Merry and Jolly are their names. I'm sure all the people who pass you or meet you will know to buy Christmas seals after they've seen you, Miss Greenwell. Incidentally, if you do this, we'll give you $50 to buy Christmas seals with, and we also... Quiet, Jolly. Merry, be quiet. We also will have for you this 14-carat, 21-jewel, full of... wristwatch. I thought it was going to burp over that. And Alex Cohen would be sore, Mr. Bullitt. All right, Mr. Ballard. The owners will collect the seals in the morning. I hope they're happy in your bathtub tonight. Right. Thank you very much, and good night. Good luck. Oh, here's a big red box of Dust, too. Try Dust for your dishes. You'll find Dust does everything in the dishpan, too. All right, now we get going along here. Be sure, folks, to listen for the walking man. Who's the walking man? He's coming this way with a new gigantic prize contest. More later about that. Right now, we've got Christmas spirit in a box. Believe it or not, back in New York, Right now, there's a great big box, and if the things in it don't add up to real Christmas spirit, then I'll settle for whatever they do add up to. Remember last week we asked you to write your Christmas wish for the world to Merry Christmas, Box 400, Radio City Station, New York 20, New York. We told you you weren't going to get anything for your trouble. No prizes, not a thing. Well, so far, about 42,000 people, you too, I hope, have taken the trouble to do something for nothing. That's a mighty good-sized crowd, and the thing they've done is mighty good-sized, too. We haven't finished counting the letters yet, and we haven't sorted the different wishes, but next Saturday, we hope to be able to tell you, on Truth or Consequences, what the top 10 wishes are. Meanwhile, the Christmas wish to the world idea is growing by leaps and bounds. On Christmas Day, 7 daytime radio programs are going to devote their entire programs to dramatizing some of the wishes you sent in. Now, let's see, Harlow, where's that list of programs? Oh, here it is. Big Sister, Ma Perkins, Young Dr. Malone, The Guiding Light, Life Can Be Beautiful, Pepper Young's Family, and The Right to Happiness. Now, you've still got time to send in your Christmas wish to the world. Just answer this question. If you had the power, what would you give the world for Christmas? Keep your answer short, one word if possible. Send your answer to Merry Christmas, Box 400, Radio City Station, New York 20, New York. Not later than midnight, December 25th, please, so we can get them all counted and sorted in time to give you the results next Saturday night. Yes, it's here again. For the past weeks, you've been going over that gift list and maybe most of your purchases there, but now on the threshold of the big week of the year, with wreaths in the window, holly on the door, with a jolly old man with the long white whiskers fattening up his reindeer for the big trip down, there's no denying it, Christmas is here. And come Thursday morning, the bells will be ringing in all the churches, the kids will be laughing in all the houses, and most everyone in his own way will be celebrating the reason for Christmas, the doctrine of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And we got to thinking what an ironic thing it is that many of those who helped give peace the real meaning of the word will be doing their celebrating from a bed or a wheelchair in a veterans hospital. And I wonder if each one of them can know and feel in their heart just how grateful we are. So, fellows in hospitals all over the country, this next consequence is for you. As a matter of fact, you might even be the contestant we have for it. Here we go to a veterans hospital, and will the fellow whose name I call please say hello back to me, although there may be no microphone in sight, you see. Hello? Hello? Hubert Smith.
Hello.
Hi, shipfitter third class Hubert Smith. This is Ralph Edwards at Truth or Consequences. Now, tell our Christmas party listeners what hospital you're in, Hubert.
Long Beach Naval Hospital.
Yes, sir. Well, all the gang around there?
You bet.
Where's your home, Hubert?
Greenville, Tennessee.
Yes, where is Greenville, Tennessee?
Well, that's 72 miles north of Knoxville.
Yes, sir. Who all is in your family, Hubert?
Well, there's just three of us, my mother, father, and myself.
I see. What do they call you, Hubert? Or...
Well, no, they call me. I go with my initials, H.C.
H.C., okay. Well, what's your father's occupation?
He's the manager of the Greenville bus station.
I see. What coach company is that?
Tennessee Coach Company.
I see. Well, before we go any further, we'd better give you a question, Hubert. Al, get me a question from the question bin, will you, please, or Floyd? And then if you miss it, why, you must pay the consequences, okay?
All right.
The gang around there, fellas, we better give them an easy question, do you think, or a hard one? Let them have it, okay. Here, Harold DeSellis of Aurora, Illinois, wants us to tell him why a lazy husband is like a Model T Ford. Truth or Consequences, H.C. H.C. Smith. Hubert Smith. Not that H.C. Why is a lazy husband like a Model T Ford?
Well,
You got all sorts of time. You got 20 seconds, 18 have gone by, 19, 20. That's all. Because they're both shiftless. Oh, man. I guess we got him, didn't we, gang? Well, you haven't told the truth, so you must pay the consequences. Now, your consequence, H.C., Hubert, is to pretend it's the night before Christmas in Greenville, Tennessee, your hometown. You're back there with the family and the gang doing everything you've always done. This is before you ever thought of the word paralyzed or hospital cot. Okay, hang on. We're really going back to Greenville. This is a preview of Christmas Eve in Greenville, Tennessee, H.C. I suppose the first thing we'd better look in on is the school party. Didn't the high school usually hold a Christmas party the day before Christmas?
Yes, they usually did sometime this just before Christmas or before we got out on vacation.
Ah, yeah. All right, then. Here we go, boy. Alakazoo, alakazam. School party at Greenville High. Here we am. There they are. Hey, see? Hey, gang. Hey, everybody. Hey, look. Listen, everybody. Look who's here. Here's Hubert Smith. Old H.C. He's here for the annual Christmas party. Oh, how does that sound, Hubert?
Well, I haven't thought about those fellows in a long time.
Oh, boy, they're glad to see you. Say howdy to them.
Oh, gang.
They're really there, boy. You'll have to sort of give your names, you fellas there and girls at school. Give your names one at a time, Hubert, so that we'll recognize you, or at least H.C. will, just in case any of the guys have gotten fatter and the gals prettier. Go ahead.
Hello, H.C. Remember me?
Who is it?
Mary Elizabeth Walker.
Remember, H.C.?
I sure do.
Well, don't get so anxious, boy. All right, next.
Hello, Smith. This is Reimer's chemistry class.
What do you say, Park?
Come on.
Hello, H.C. This is Kathleen Boswell. Remember me?
Oh, you bet, Cat.
The whole gang, boy.
Hi there, H.C. Remember me, Marietta Lamb.
Oh, hello, Marietta.
Hi, H.C. This is J.W. Ramsey. How's Trix?
Oh, same as always.
Who's Trix, huh? Never mind.
Hello, H.C. It's Cy Ramsey.
What do you say, Cy?
Hey, yeah. See, it's Maurice. Remember those big football games we used to have?
Oh, you bet.
Well.
Hello, H.C. This is Bill. Do you remember those firecrackers that we used to shoot in study hall?
Okay, boy. Well, they all seem about the same, don't they, H.C.?
They sure do.
Yeah, any of you get married since Hubert saw you last?
Oh, yes, H.C. I'm getting married in the near future. Guess who I am?
Well, that could be Kathleen Ambrose.
Oh, you're exactly right.
Well, you hit it right on the nose there. Well, who are you going to marry? Is that a question? Is that Kathleen? Who are you going to marry?
I'm marrying Jack Armitage.
Remember him, H.C.?
She always was a handful.
Some of the...
Getting around quite a bit.
Some of the younger crop has crept in, you know. We're going to have to get running on. This magic spell only lasts to the end of Truth or Consequence tonight, and Hubert has a million things to do and a million people to talk to. So say goodbye, gang, here at the annual school party at Greenville High School.
Hey, Smitty. This is your old principal, A.B. Gillen. You remember me?
You bet.
We just want you to know we are thinking of you all the time. The gang is all here with a happy tear in their eyes for you. Hurry and get well. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Mr. Gillen.
You bet it's Merry Christmas, fella, and a town full of friends proving it. But say, we better get floating over to the next place. Let's see, the night before Christmas in Greenville, Tennessee. What would you be doing, H.C.? Oh, my goodness, is all your Christmas shopping done, Hubert?
No, I haven't thought anything about doing any this year.
Man, did you get a gift for your best girl?
Well, not yet.
What's her name?
Lila Morrell.
Lila Morrell. Do you love her?
You bet.
The marriage hopefulness there?
Well, I'm going to think about it seriously as soon as I get out of this bed.
Yeah, boy. I knew there'd be some last-minute shopping to do. What do you want to get Lila? How about a nice handkerchief or something like that, huh?
Just for her? Why, she rates more than that.
Well, yeah, but I mean, we can get some. Maybe a handkerchief now, okay?
Well, I'll settle for that, I guess.
All right. Well, come on. Before the stores close here, we're right in front of George R. Lane's store here on Main Street. Let's go in, shall we?
Right.
Okay, boy, come on. We're entering the front door, really, of George R. Lane's in your hometown of Greenville, Tennessee. Alakazam! Now, let's get that handkerchief and get on here. Let's see. We're in the store now. Here's a counter where we ought to be able to get a handkerchief. Hello. You recognize this fellow?
Well, Hubert Smith. I'm Miss Fern Price. Remember me?
Oh, yes.
Remember my son, John? It's wonderful to see you, Hubert.
Well,
so you want some of these pretty ones? For a girlfriend, I bet.
Yeah, he wants one of the pretty ones.
Yeah. What color do you like?
Well, we'll make it white silk.
White silk.
You want something with lace or just plain?
Well, might as well make it lace.
What size you wear?
Now, wait a minute. What size? Isn't this the handkerchief counter?
Oh, my, no, this is the lingerie camp.
Oh, for goodness sakes, give us a pretty handkerchief and let's get out of here, huh? H.C., say goodbye, boy.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Hubert.
Yes, sir, let's get out on Main Street here. We'll hang on to Lila's present, the handkerchief, in case you see her. Here we are. Wonder who's around here on Main Street. Right on Main Street. Who's out on Main Street?
Hello, Hubert. This is Fuzzy Marr from the drugstore. It's good to see you.
Do you remember Fuzzy Morrow, Herbert?
Oh, you bet.
Oh,
great to see you, Fuzzy.
Wait a minute, listen. Hear the church bells? You recognize that sound, Hubert? Those are really the church bells in Greenville, Tennessee. All this is in Greenville. This radio magic is real. Now, come on, let's get up to your church, huh? The Asbury Methodist Church. Here we are in the vestibule of the Asbury Methodist Church in Greenville, H.C. You still with me, huh?
Yes.
We're right here in the vestibule. Let's peek through the door and see who all is here tonight. You recognize any of these people, H.C.? There's Mr. and Mrs. Perry Lamb. You remember?
Oh, I remember all these, several of these people.
Yeah. And Bobby Phillips, remember him?
Oh, sure, but I haven't seen him in a long time.
Yeah. Well, let's go on in because Reverend Fleenor will speak right after the organ stops. Come on in. Here we go.
Hey, H.C., remember me? I'm Catherine Frazier.
Catherine Frazier.
Oh, Catherine.
You kids shouldn't talk in church like this.
Hey, H.C., Harry Fortner, remember, pal?
You bet.
Yeah. And look over there.
Hello, H.C., this is Grandmother.
Hello, Grandmother.
Oh.
Here's Granddad.
Hello, H.C.
Hi,
how are you?
Just fine.
Atta boy.
Hello, H.C., how are you?
Who's that?
Why, that's Linda.
Yeah, why?
My name is Linda Louise Clark. You remember me?
Sure.
Sure he does. I'm sure the Reverend won't mind her talking like this. Oh, quiet, you folks. Reverend M. Guy Fleenor is going to speak.
I have always thought about and preached about the joy of giving and how truly more blessed it is to give than to receive. But tonight I find genuine reason for joy in receiving back into our midst one of our dearest friends, Hubert Smith. And whether it is by radio's miracle or in our dreams, H.C. has never left our hearts. And in hundreds of churches all over the country, I'm sure all of us preachers, priests, rabbis, and spokesmen of all faiths look down at the seats where you boys used to sit and know in the deep of our hearts that the prayers which went with you into war will bring you back to us again to share the peace that you have made possible. H.C., it's good to have you with us.
Did you hear what Reverend Fleenor said, Hubert?
Sure did, Mr. Edwards.
He meant you, and he meant all the fellas listening in hospitals all over the country. But alakazoo, alakazam, and look where we are now on this magic trip, spending a preview of Christmas Eve in your old hometown. Now, you may be in a ward in a veterans hospital at Long Beach, California, and I may be here on this stage in Hollywood at NBC, but everything else is in your hometown of Greenville, Tennessee. Everything is real, especially these old pals of yours. Look, they're over here on North Main Street, all lined up as if they were just waiting for you to join in the Christmas carols. Hi, gang!
Hey!
Yeah, we're out here on Main Street. Who are you caroling tonight?
We're from Dr. Ms. Haskell Fox's home.
Right in front of it. Well, ask the gang what they're going to sing, H.C., so you can join in.
Well, what are you going to sing tonight, gang?
Hello, H.C. This is Eugenia Bewley, one of your seventh grade teachers out at Doak. One song you used to like best is Silent Night. Are you ready to lead us in it?
Yeah, okay.
I'll try.
Yes, sir. Here we go, H.C. You started out, and your friends, 2,000 miles away, will join you in front of Dr. and Mrs. Fox's house there in Greenville. Here we go.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child.
Beautiful, H.C., wasn't it, carolers?
Oh, yeah. Hello, H.C., this is Dr. Fox. This is Fox Jones, me and saying, that was swell. Merry Christmas. Welcome home.
Oh, my goodness, I'm glad you reminded me, Dr. Fox. Home is right. I promised Hubert's mother and father I'd get him over to see them before the tree was trimmed. Now, here we go, right over to your house, H.C., alakazam, and here we are. Your folks are expecting us. Let me knock, though, just to warm them. Yeah. Anxious to talk to Mother and Dad?
Sure am.
Well, I'll bet they're as excited as you are. How long since you've been home?
It's been several months now. About 8 months, in fact.
Yeah, they're certainly taking their time. Didn't seem to answer. Why, look, Hubert, there isn't even a light on. Where do you suppose they are?
Well, they might still be at the station.
No, they said they would see... Oh, what's the matter with me? Of course, they're not in Greenville, Tennessee tonight. Do you know where they are, H.C.?
No, I haven't any idea, Mr. Edwards.
They're right there outside the door of your ward in Long Beach Naval Hospital. Come in, Mother and Dad.
Hello, H.C.
Hello, H.C.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Are they there, H.C.? I guess they are. I guess it's
yes, they're here.
You bet. Well, goodness, there's Mother and Dad. H.C., we sort of pulled a switch on you there at the end. We really have been in Greenville with our microphones all night, meeting your old friends. But when it came to Mom and Dad, we threw away the magic stuff and brought on the real thing. Your dad's boss, Mr. Al Kramer, even provided a substitute for both your mother and dad at the Tennessee Coach Company so they could come along. Are you happy, fella?
I sure am, Mr.
Yes,
Edwards.
Yes, sir. If you can't go to Christmas, Christmas will come to you. Mother, how does he look to you?
Oh, he never looked better to me, Mr. Edwards.
All right. Well, I guess you heard H.C. meeting all his friends and doing some late Christmas shopping. By the way, H.C., what did you do with that handkerchief you bought, huh, fella? Huh?
I still have it.
Well, why don't you... why don't you give it to your fiancée, Lila Morrell, huh? Go ahead and give it to her. Because she's right there outside your door, too. Come in, Lila.
Hello, H.C. Merry Christmas.
Hello, Lila.
Is that a surprise, H.C.? Well, our hearts are with you kids who've been in love for a long time, and we know this Christmas will be a happy one for you. What do you do back in Greenville, Lila?
I'm a telephone operator for the Intermountain Telephone Company, but the number that I want best is H.C.
Well, you betcha. Mother and father and Lila, this reunion and your and Hubert's happiness, we mean for every veteran in veterans hospitals all over the country tonight. This is your moment, too, fellas, because your parents and wives and children and sweethearts in their minds and hearts are thinking, that's me there with you. And that's what your hometown is thinking right now, too, boys. Small town, big city, that's what they're thinking. And don't think it's just at Christmas time, either. It's every day. It's just that with all this talk about peace on earth at Christmas time, we wanted you to know in this special way that the peace you fought to give us, we're going to fight to keep. H.C., Mother and Dad and Lila are here as our guests to spend the Christmas holidays with you. We have hotel reservations for them near the hospital there. And since we've pretended this is Christmas Eve, let us give you your present. You've got a swell future, Hubert. The courage that has brought you this far is the same courage that will see you through the future. Here to help that future is a $500 savings bond. Good luck. God bless you. Merry Christmas, H.C.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards, and a very Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you. Good night. Good night, boy. Good night.
Good night, Mr. Edwards.
thanks to engineer DeWitt Schultes and Truth or Consequences producer Ed Bailey in Greenville, Tennessee's church and school, to engineer Jim Hackett and producer Dick Lochran at Main Street and Lane Store, Greenville, to engineer Joe Kay and producer Fred Carney at Long Beach Naval Hospital, and to our studio and mixing engineer Johnny Pollock and producers Al Pascal and Floyd Holm here in Hollywood, to our Truth or Consequences organist Buddy Cole and church organist Ida Ripley in Greenville, Tennessee, and to all of Hubert's many friends in Greenville, Tennessee who were so eager to pay this tribute to their pal, shipfitter third class Hubert Smith, paralyzed from the neck down in Long Beach Naval Hospital. And all the veterans throughout the country are grateful thanks to you. Listen to this. The Walking Man. Who is the Walking Man? Keep listening to Truth or Consequences for the Walking Man. It may mean a gigantic prize to the one who knows. Who is the Walking Man? Hear all about it next week on Truth or Consequences. And folks, now listen, the truth is, today's prices for used kitchen fats are higher, much higher than last summer. Everybody save every drop of used fat. It's worth your while. This is Ralph Edwards speaking on behalf of our sponsor, the makers of Does, and wishing you a very Merry Christmas. And until next week, when you hear more about The Walking Man, a brand new gigantic prize contest, good night, everybody.
Truth or Consequences on Tuned to Yesterday, an NBC episode from the 20th of December, 1947. Not too many broadcasts of that show have survived from radio's yesteryear, although it started on the air 7 years prior to that broadcast. It really hit its stride when it made its transition to television from 1950 through 1988. This is an hour of Christmas programs on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now, New World A-Coming. Broadcast from WMCA in New York City, their Christmas program featuring song and civil rights messaging from the period from December 24, 1945.
Good afternoon, everybody. Today, on its regular broadcast of New World A-Coming, WMCA, in cooperation with the Citywide Citizens Committee on Harlem, presents a Christmas program of holiday music featuring Muriel Smith and the Boys Choir of St. Philip's Protestant Episcopal Church, and statements from the leaders of the Negro community delivered by Dr. Channing Tobias, Lester Granger, Roy Wilkins, and the distinguished author and creator of these broadcasts, who has just returned from a roving assignment in the European Theater of War, Roy Ottley. To open our program, Muriel Smith, as guest soloist, joins the boys' choir of St. Philip's Church in singing the traditional Christmas carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. On this day before Christmas, many vital subjects concerning the Negro people are being discussed not only here in America, but throughout the rest of the world. In our own country, there are nearly 13 million Negroes. In other parts of the world, colored peoples represent 2/3 of the Earth's total population. With a knowledge of these figures, one can easily understand why the subject of the Negro's place in the future peace of the world is of great importance. Dr. Channing Tobias, prominent member of the National Selective Service Advisory Board and one of the outstanding leaders of the Negro people, presents his statement on this subject. Dr. Tobias.
Any plan for the future peace of the world that does not include racial equality as a major consideration is not only lacking in realism, but is destined to failure from the beginning. When Woodrow Wilson rejected the proposal for a racial equality clause in the Covenant of the League of Nations, it was tantamount to saying that the victorious nations in World War I would continue to hold unbroken the ring of white dominance that then encircled the darker peoples of the world. World War II is in part the result of that decision. The question now is, will the victorious nations in this war heed the lesson of history, or must we have another war? There can be no middle ground. Pearl Buck, whose background gives her the right to speak, states the situation thus. I quote, "We must realize, we citizens of the United States, and this whether Britain realizes it or not, that a world based on former principles of empire and imperial behavior is now impossible. It cannot exist. We must make clear our determination for real democracy, for all peoples, with mutual responsibility demanded of all to fulfill its conditions. The deep patience of colored peoples is at an end. Everywhere among them there is the same resolve for freedom and equality that white Americans and British have. But it is a grimmer resolve, for it includes the determination to be rid of white rule and exploitation and white race prejudice, and nothing will weaken this will." End of the quotation. Therefore, as we look ahead toward what we call the post-war world, and Negro Americans insist that lynching, segregation, discrimination in the armed forces, and all the other racially double-standard practices that flourish in America today be done away with, they are not entering a group self-interest plea for charity or special privilege. They are simply insisting that America live up to the high principles that motivated the founders. For they realize, as all America must come to realize, that there can be no new world for any part of the nation until America, in an all-embracing sense, becomes what has been expressed in the oath of allegiance to the flag, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
One of the most progressive developments in our history has been attained through the recent organization of Negroes into the trade union movement throughout America. Here is Lester Granger, Executive Secretary of the National Urban League, discussing the Negro worker in the labor movement today and his role in the war period ahead. Mr. Granger.
These radio programs, New World Are Coming, have hammered week after week on the theme that here in New York City, as in every other large city throughout the country, thousands and tens of thousands of citizens deeply rooted in this country by birth, aspirations, and contributions are denied access to full living and to normal self-expression because of artificial barriers erected against their progress by small-minded and short-sighted community leadership. The time has long since passed for word-by-word exposition of the enormity of the social crime perpetrated against these Negro citizens, and also against the larger community of which they are a part. The very fact that we are engaged in a war whose bitterness is without parallel, the very fact that men and women of the white and Negro race are dying and fighting overseas in support of the principle of equality of opportunity, this very fact should make it unnecessary at this late stage in the war's history to argue painfully on the justice of demand that racial discrimination and separation be wiped out of American life once and for all. What this means to the Negro wage-earning community in its awakened efforts to advance its own security on a level with that of other sections of the working population is one of the major questions affecting the whole future course of American democracy. The complete integration of black labor into the maximum productive capacities of American industry is a problem which must be courageously faced, and it presents new frontiers to be explored and settled by the vigorous movement of American industrial labor. Today, more than 500,000 Negroes, a half million, are estimated to be members of labor organizations. 10 years ago, Negro membership was 80,000. This great increase in organizational activity is due primarily to the extensive campaigns of organized labor. Today, aggressive unionism becomes the major force for the extension of the rights and progress for the Negro race. It's the only segment of our society where Negroes and whites have been able to work together in common purpose. It has also become the political force through which civil rights acts may be enforced in states where they exist and efforts made to break down Jim Crow in states where it has a legal foundation.
The boys' choir of St. Philip's Protestant Episcopal Church again joins with our guest soloist, Muriel Smith, in two songs befitting the holiday season. It Came Upon a Midnight Clear and Sweet Little Jesus.
Thank you.
Our next speaker on this holiday program of New World A-Coming is the acting secretary of one of the most dynamic organizations in American life, Roy Wilkins, of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. As one of the leaders of the Negro community and editor of the magazine The Crisis, Mr. Wilkins is best qualified to discuss the immediate objectives of the Negro people in the new year ahead. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Roy Wilkins.
One of the main objectives of the American Negro in the new year and in the new world a-coming is certainly the elimination of separation, inequality, and humiliation based on skin color in the armed forces of the nation. It is natural that Negroes should be thinking more and more of this as the year draws to a close, for it has been the third year of a world war. It has been a year of offensives and invasions by our troops, and it has been a year marked by two mass trials of colored men in uniform, one by the Army and one by the Navy. These two trials, added to the hundreds of instances of mistreatment reported from camps in this country, added to the stories that have found their way back from both the Pacific and European theaters of war, have driven Negro citizens to the conclusion that if this democracy of ours is to have an effective army, not alone in terms of a fighting machine, but in terms of the prestige necessary to reshape the world of the future, we must have a democratic army. This means an army where every American can serve alongside every other American without artificial separation based on color or race. It has been said over and over again that Negroes have fought in every war, beginning with the Revolution. This bears repeating and repeating again, for it demonstrates more clearly than any thesis that in its dark minority, America has a group willing to die for its homeland, willing even in the face of treatment that in other groups has spawned traitors and saboteurs. In the near future, then, we must have not a white army and a black army, but an American army where each man can serve and, if need be, die with self-respect, love, and honor.
Thank you, Mr. Wilkins. And now, we are proud and honored to introduce our next speaker, the distinguished author, war correspondent, and creator of these New World A-Coming broadcasts, who has just returned from an assignment from overseas. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Roy Ottley.
Thank you. I returned to America last Thursday. I have seen more than 6 months of war overseas. I have seen our soldiers, white and Negro, fighting this war. I have traveled on boat, on jeep, on plane, across the English Channel, through the Mediterranean, and over the roaring battlefront. I have talked to Englishmen, Frenchmen, Belgians, Italians, and Africans. And the opinion over there is this. This is a tough war. This war isn't won yet. Victory can be delayed for a long time. If any one of us here at home slackens down on this war job. I tell you this from my first-hand experience. It's as plain as the day and the night that follows that the war can be shortened right now if the people here at home stay on the job. That is the biggest story that I can bring back from Europe. One more thing. Fascism in Europe is going to go. The people of Europe have been affected who have been affected by the cruelty and barbarism of the Germans, will see to it that the roots of fascism are torn out forever. There are no dissenting opinions on that subject. As for our own boys who are fighting this war, let no one tell you that they do not know what they are fighting for. Christmas tomorrow sums it up for them in a few words. Peace on earth, goodwill to man. Peace over the whole earth, and goodwill to all men, Christians, Jews, Americans, Scandinavians, Italians, Africans, and white and black.
I
have been listening to a special holiday program of New World A-Coming, with statements by the leaders of the Negro community, Dr. Channing Tobias, Lester Granger, Roy Wilkins, and songs by guest soloist Muriel Smith, with the boys' choir of St. Philip's Protestant Episcopal Church, Walter Witherspoon, choir director. Roy Otley, who has just returned from a roving assignment overseas, brought you a word picture of the biggest story in the European theater of war, an appeal for Americans to stay on the job and produce the war supplies so necessary to win. New World A-Coming was directed and produced by Mitchell Grayson. On behalf of Station WMCA and the Citywide Citizens Committee on Harlem, this is George Willard saying good afternoon and wishing our listeners a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year of 1945. This is America's leading independent station.
New World A-Coming, on tuned to yesterday from Christmas Eve 1945 from WMCA New York. And that does it for this hour of Christmas programs on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Happy holidays.